First it's same-sex marriage, then it's transgenderism. Now it's transspeciesism. You heard it right, transspeciesism. When a nation rejects God, there's simply no limit to the bottom of depravity. This and more real-life examples coming up next.
Welcome to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Weekend Review, featuring the best segments taken from our Stand in the Gap Today daily program. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth. Stand by to hear a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. The pastor's and the believer's goal should be to impact our culture for Christ. As part of our mission to urge pastors to boldly preach the whole counsel of God and equip people to be soldiers and ambassadors for Christ, we're establishing APN chapters in all 50 states. Learn more on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Now, here's our host and American Pastors Network President, Sam Rohr.
Today, we'll be featuring a selection of segments taken from our August 3rd Stand in the Gap Today daily broadcast. The purpose of APN's daily news analysis is to highlight and bring clarity to the issues of the day from a biblical and constitutional perspective. If you're a concerned Christian or patriotic American, you would like Stand in the Gap Today as we ask and answer the toughest and most pertinent questions. While we know that the purpose of the pulpit is about the gospel message, we also know that it's not limited to the gospel message and the winning of the lost, but includes the command to equip the believer to be articulate ambassadors for Christ in an increasingly evil and godless culture. As preachers, we believe that making disciple is what the Great Commission is all about. The theme of today's program is When Man Rejects God. It's no question that in the last couple of decades, we've witnessed the erosion of moral values and the downfall of the traditional family. Truth and justice are no longer expected or promoted by our leaders or in civil government. And the church has seemingly become impotent, unwilling to address the false teaching and sinful lifestyles that undermine and weaken her influence. Yet all is not lost. As we move through the program today, you'll hear some of the practical and encouraging ways that you can help to rebuild what's been torn down. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue. God's unerring, infallible word confirms that the power of God enables us to think and act in ways that will bring about His blessing once again. To start today's program, my co-hosts, David Kistler and Gary Dahl, and I will discuss this question. Will the sins of our nation, like homosexuality, abortion, murder, drunkenness, bring about God's judgment? Or are these things the judgment of God being proven already poured out upon us because He has, according to Romans 1, given us over to our lust to reap the consequences of our sin? Let's listen now to our first discussion.
We're going to follow through a theme today that gives proof, evidence, of the cultural and political fallout that is resulting from our highest courts, Supreme Courts and other, overruling God's moral and civil laws. And it is bizarre what is taking place. One of those we're going to touch on that's absolutely scary. It's true. But it's the unexpected fallout, and it's summed up by this article headline. Let me read it to you. Politically correct madness. Get this. Being human is so last year. The next frontier is transspeciesism. That's right. Transspeciesm. Do you know what that is? We're going to tell you what this weird aberration is and where it's being promoted. And sadly, this is no joke, but it's a result, I believe, of what's happening in some of the courts. In segment three, we're going to share some, I think, some shocking information that's a natural outcome of our courts in the past throwing out God, throwing out prayer, throwing out the Ten Commandments from our public school with no real outreach from the church in America. Can you say with me, quote, as the Washington Post says, there is a Satan worship club coming to your elementary school near you? You heard it right. Satan clubs in elementary schools. The last segment, then we're going to look at the same thing by looking at the Democrat party platform as compared to Republican platform on just the one issue of human sexuality and marriage, and look at the contrast, because it also factors into this whole aspect of the courts and the impacts. Now, all of that being said, Dave, I want to go to you here right now to help lay this out, because in reality, and set the stage for this program, there's a prevailing cultural mentality that says there is no absolute right or wrong. As I've mentioned, we've thrown God out of our schools, out of our laws. He's not welcome in this society anymore. Our courts have attempted to redefine God's moral law across a range of issues. Our nation's attorney general confirms there is no such thing as objective law anymore, and it doesn't really apply equally to all people. Our president defies the Constitution, repeatedly goes around it, under it, or just plain ignores it. And Congress, in complicity, lets him do it. To me, man, it's almost like we're entering the old days of the Twilight Zone. It's something is really very strange, and the speed of it is alarming. Dave, I want to go to you first right here and have you lay the biblical foundation, because when I think and I see these things that we're going to talk about, it speaks to me of Romans chapter 1. I'm going to ask you a question. What can humankind get to the point where God just walks away and then bizarre things happen? Lay out this for us of that fact. And what happens when man says, I've had enough of you, God?
Sam, in Romans 1, you have the most vivid description of a downward progression, and it is a downward progression allowed, facilitated by God himself. It starts in Romans 1:18, where the scripture says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness. And whenever you read the word hold, it is not a holding like you would place a book in someone's hands with their palms turned upward and they would hold the book from underneath. The word hold there means to hold down or to suppress. It's turning the palms downward and pushing down on something. So when a culture begins to try to suppress or push down God's truth with their godless living, then a process is started. In verse 24, it talks about God gives that kind of culture up to uncleanness. And boy, there is a powerful, powerful analogy in that word uncleanness that I don't have time to go into fully, but the idea is an immorality that is committed, an uncleanness that is perpetuated among those who don't even know the names of the other individuals. And there's a strong suggestion there. We're talking about prostitution. And then you go to verse 26. It talks about God giving them up to vile affections. And of course, that's referring to homosexuality. And there's a continued downward progression. And as one well-known preacher today said, when you get to this place in Romans 1, we're not talking about these things bringing the judgment of God. Sam, these things are the judgment of God. When we get to this place, we are already under God's judgment. To get to the place where you can talk about transspeciesism, Sam, that is at the very bottom rung of a ladder down which a nation or society has degenerated, and that's tragically where we are.
Thank you, Dave. Gary, I want to go to you right now, because one of the things that the court did, taking prayer out, they took the Ten Commandments out, which is really God's framework for an orderly society. Does it seem to you that one of the more bizarre outworkings of the court throwing off God and people throwing off God is this area of human sexuality? And if you believe that to be the case, very quickly, why do you think we are seeing such bizarre actions in regard to human identity, sexual identity, and sexual behavior as we're seeing, as we're going to lay out in this program? Why do you think that's happening?
Well, Sam, you know, even as Dave has said, and as you have implied with regard to the Ten Commandments, when you put God's law aside and man begins to think according to his own human depravity, then anything goes. And that's really where we are today. We have put God out of the schools. We put God out of the pulpits in many places. We put God out of the government. And when God is put out and when God's law is set aside, as I said, there are no boundaries. And Sam, as I've been listening even to Dave talk, I was thinking of what it says back in Genesis chapter 6 that, you know, in the days of the flood, that God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart of mankind was only evil continually. The Bible teaches us that near the return of Christ, it's going to be the same. And I think that that's what we're seeing today. God is out of the picture, and man has become only evil continually.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue in this next segment and give you a real-life example of the result of what the courts have done that's now proceeding forth into what we've referred to as trans-speciesism. You've got to hear this. It is not a joke. It is very real, and it's a very much a result of what Dave just laid out, I believe, coming out of Romans chapter 1.
We've just listened to the introduction to our theme for this week, When Man Rejects God. And we concluded that what we're seeing in our society is actually God's judgment already taking place. When man rejects God's laws and God's ways, he gives them over to all sorts of vile and perverse ways, according to Romans chapter 1. When the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage back in June of 2015, you may have thought that that would have been the end of the homosexual agenda. After all, they got what they wanted. But we didn't have to wait too long, did we, until the transgender population began to assert itself and demand acceptance and accommodation. Battle lines have been drawn in many states over the anti-discrimination laws, and it still remains to be seen if the courts will kneel fully before the sacred altar of political correctness. As transgenders insist that their identity isn't a matter of biology, we now find a new trend of bizarre behavior called transspeciesism, which isn't a matter of biology either. In fact, it isn't even a matter of being human. Ever hear of this before? Let's listen to this next segment and find out what it's all about. Our goal is not to highlight this new aberrant behavior, but to demonstrate the depth of depravity that results from rejecting God and His order for life.
Well, the continuing theme on this program today is When Man Rejects God. And we talked about that in the first segment, what happens when mankind generally walks away from God, says we don't want anything to do with God's law, God's word, with the reality of Jesus Christ, the Ten Commandments or prayer. And these are things that have outcomes. We're looking at some of those outcomes. As the one article said, I'm going to refer to right now, it says this, politically correct madness, being human, is so, quote, last year. The next frontier is transspeciesism. Gary and Dave were talking about this because these are things that are the outgrowth of having individuals who are sitting on the bench in our court systems who say we care nothing what God's moral law says, which is the underpinning of our Western law, and we're going to take and make it whatever it is. When the Supreme Court ruled against the definition of marriage between one man and one woman, it seems to me that it's opened the door for untold political and sexual madness as they've attempted to let anything go, but also to penalize companies or individuals who, as a matter of conscience, refuse to endorse this open-ended definition. Individuals like Chief Justice Roy Moore from Alabama, just in the news today, has been sanctioned by the court for upholding his state law and his oath of office for not bowing to this unholy and unconstitutional rulings of the court. They have sanctioned him, and that thing is still going on. So the court redefines what is true and then seeks to penalize those who want to hold to God's law. This is something that's very, very key to understand. But one of the things I'm talking about here, it came to my attention. The reason that I'm going to talk about this right now is because it came to the forefront from talking with a friend of mine from Philadelphia who has a son who is at one of our state universities. Actually, it was Penn State. I'll mention the name because he's there. And in it, he said, Dad, you cannot believe what is on the campus, I've heard it in classrooms. It is a discussion among the kids. It's the rage, and it is this thing called transspeciesism. From one article, I read this when trying to define it. It says this, together, a couple of these articles that are being written here, they show that scientists are on the verge of creating a transhuman, a beast that is part human and part something else. Creating a transhuman is right on top of us. Now, here, let me just, for the sake of defining it a little bit more, here are some of those who call themselves trans species individuals. Here, this one says, quote, "I feel my selfhood to be discrete from this body. It's not inherently me. It's just a vehicle I'm operating. Plus, what does it mean to be human anyway?" End quote. Now, here's another individual, Riviera, a guy identifies himself as a dragon. He decided this 15 years ago after having what he describes as a prophetic dream from his past life. There's another individual here who views themselves to be a cat. And her fear of water for her life is because she is a cat. An individual believes he is a dog. And I have these names of people. They believe he's a dog. He eats dog food. People didn't really like him. He didn't know what his identity was. He said, "Everybody likes dogs. I am a dog." One says here, "My pagan beliefs and worldview is definitely tied up in my other kin." That's another word that's used, other kin identity. "I believe our reality can be described using Plato's allegory of the cave. We're prisoners of our own flesh, and our ability to perceive reality is flawed and incomplete because it has been filtered through our meat," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, do you get what I'm saying? This is bizarre, and I wouldn't even be bringing this up had it not been reported to me that it is a matter of discussion, even discussion with my own college-age student. I asked him last night at dinner table, "Have you ever heard of this?" He said, "Yeah, weird, isn't it?" Dave, let me go to you first. Does this bizarre behavior that I'm describing, attitude, surprise you? Or is it really the predictable outcome of a court's ruling where they outlawed the definition of marriage? Connect these two and what's happening in light of what you said relative to Romans 1 in the first letter.
Well, again, Sam, this is the obvious and expected outcome. When you let down a fence, and God's definition of marriage, what we sometimes call the traditional definition of marriage, when that goes by the wayside, as it did with this court ruling at the High Court last June, when that goes by the wayside, then all bets are off. You have no boundaries on any side. Sam, we saw immediately after that decision at the High Court, we saw people talking about wanting to marry trees, wanting to marry animals. If God's definition of marriage does not matter, if there is no boundary, biblical boundary or any boundary whatsoever, then Sam, the kind of behavior you're talking about here is perhaps way down the continuum. It may be an extreme example, but that's where all this is going to ultimately go. So does it surprise me? Not at all. Is it beyond weird? The answer to that is an abounding yes.
Gary, let me go to you next, because the practical implication of this, I believe, as we've moved into a culture that has thrown God's standards out the window and basically says that no one can define it. We've said on this program, after the court ruling, like Dave said, that it's going to open up a door that you're not going to be able to shut. Realistically, Gary, when what has happened by the court, and you see the move from marriage to homosexuality, same-sex marriage, to transgenderism, and now to transspeciesism, Gary, is it possible under this construct of what's happening in our culture today for anyone to really stand up and say, this is wrong, and draw the line? Or have we just so removed the fences that it's impossible to draw the line?
Well, Sam, that's a good question, and I think that there probably are a lot of Christians out there saying, well, you know, the battle is over, and so we just must sit back and fold our arms and be ready for the or watch for the return of Christ. You know, no, we've got a responsibility to stand up and speak out. Our program here is called Stand in the Gap, and we talk about standing in the gap for truth. No matter how bad society gets, whether it's in the court or whether it's in the education system or even in the church, those of us who are biblicists, who stand upon the Word of God and maintain the authority of the Word of God, must bring truth to bear on all of these departures from truth. And you know, I think that what we need to do is anytime we see a situation like this, we're talking about this transspeciesism, which is absolutely ridiculous. It reminds me of the $6 million man of many, many years ago, where we are going. You know, what we've got to do is bring the Word of God to bear on something like this and show God's way, because it's God's way and God's Word that will change, that has the potential to change the trend that's going on in society. I remind you of what Romans chapter 3 says. Dave, I think, made mention of it here a little bit ago. But keep in mind, it says this: there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And it continues to describe the condition of mankind apart from God. But then, later on in verse 24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is that saying to us in light of this context? It is saying that things are bad and things could get worse. We believe they will as we draw closer to the return of Christ. But we need to keep God's word, God's plan of redemption before us in proclaiming it, in living it, and allow the Lord to do the changing that he wants to do through us and through his word.
Absolutely, Gary. That is exactly correct. But I'm going to go on here, because this transspeciesism is not out there with just a couple of people. It is a part of official government experimentation. The United States government and China are the leaders in working on behavior changes, but body changes, mixing the genomes and the DNA of beasts and people. They're working on these things. China has been developing. They're ahead of, from evidently, from what the indications are, developing a superior breed of people, of men, for the military and for local police, who run faster, jump higher, are stronger. There's an effort for this. Dave, speak to us biblically in the last little bit about that problematic aspect of mixing beasts with humankind. There's a problem here, a big problem.
Well, Sam, there is a huge problem. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, which is the foundation stone upon which man's relationship with man, man's relationship with God, all of that is established in the book of Genesis. And in Genesis 2:7, it says, so God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Earlier in chapter number 2, as well as in chapter number 1, man, which is the crowning achievement of God's creation, is given the responsibility of having dominion over the animals or the beasts of the field. So they are not, man and the animals are not on equal footing. Certainly mankind and machines are not on equal footing. And so this mixing of the two, Sam, I personally believe is nothing less than an attempt on the part of sinful man to eliminate the distinction God has created between man and the animals, making man his highest achievement.
Dave, great comments. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe, as we're talking about this, that when we reject God as creator, we not only lose the sacredness of life and why we are pro-life, but we lose the value of life itself in human sexuality, and we define it otherwise, and God hates that kind of action, really demonic activity that is at work. This is serious business. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, David Kistler, and Gary Dahl, be with us right after we come back from these announcements.
We're glad you're listening to today's Stand in the Gap weekend. Did you know that the American Pastors Network produces not only Stand in the Gap Today and Stand in the Gap Weekend, but also a one-minute program carried on over 200 stations nationwide called Stand in the Gap Minute? Here's the program from last week. I hope that you enjoy this important challenge. In Psalm 34, King David said to bless the Lord at all times and to magnify and exalt God's name. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network with an Exalting God Stand in the Gap Minute. Today I want to honor God because this broadcast marks the 200th Stand in the Gap program. In August of 2012, the first Stand in the Gap Minute program aired on just 6 stations in Pennsylvania. Today, it's on over 400 stations nationwide. Designed to highlight a scriptural truth to inform and challenge Christians and pastors to stand in the gap for truth, this program has become a blessing to so many, and for that I also praise the Lord. If you've been blessed, would you consider taking just a moment and jot me a note about how God has blessed you through these Stand in the Gap programs? American Pastors Network, pastors preaching the truth, equipping people to impact the culture for Christ. Visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net to share your thoughts with us. Welcome back to Stand in the Gap Weekend. If you've just tuned in, we've been discussing the theme of what happens when man rejects God and the resulting judgment when God gives him over to his own destruction. In the last few moments of our discussion, we talked about transspeciesism and how the Bible makes it clear that the mixing of people and animals is sinful, and that God created man to be a distinct, separate being and elevated him to be in a position both physically, mentally, and spiritually above all of his other creations. In this next segment, we'll present another shocking headline announcing that after-school Satan clubs are about to be established as a counterpart to the traditional Good News Bible clubs. If you're a parent and are about to send your child off to school this fall, you'll want to listen closely to the information we present here.
Well, when man rejects God and the courts step in and put it into law, weird things happen. And the boundaries are moved. We talked about that in this last segment with the whole concept of transspeciesism, and that when human sexuality has been redefined as by the court in marriage, then the whole level of human sexual identity goes wherever you want to go, which is exactly what we're seeing. We've talked about it on this program, that the whole issue of transgenderism, obviously it was a big issue a couple months ago. It's quiet now during the summer, but when we come back in the fall, our schools are going to have adopted many policies. That issue is going to come roaring back to life. But in the midst of that comes this issue of transspeciesism, which takes it a step further and says, if you want to feel like you're an animal, if you want to mix yourself with some animal genes, as government is attempting to do in places, then why not? And that is a point. When you remove God's standard, there is no limitation. But let's move now into this next one as a result of something that is currently happening, because I believe the court has, when they threw God out, when they took the Ten Commandments out of school, and when we've moved into this this idea of pluralism, that really every ideology is equal, well, is it? Well, the Washington Post, July 30, 2016, ran an article, and was in other places too, but the headline was here, an after-school Satan club could be coming to your kids' elementary school. Part of the article reads like this. Doug Messner, who goes by the professional name Lucian Greaves, is co-founder and spokesman for the Satanic Temple, a group of political activists who are seeking to establish after-school Satan clubs as a counterpart to fundamentalist Christian Good News clubs, which they see as an attempt to infiltrate public education and erode the constitutional separation of church and state. And he goes on to says that regarding the Good News Bible clubs, they're plotting to bring, actually the Satanic group effort here, they're planning to bring their wisdom, get that, their wisdom to the nation's public elementary school children. Going on, the article says they, the Satanic Temple, point out that Christian evangelical groups have already infiltrated the lives of America's children through the after-school religious programming in public schools, and they appear determined to give young students a choice, Jesus or Satan. They actually have put together a letter. And this letter has now gone out to many, many school districts across the country with major, a lot of the major cities. And it comes from this group, and they lay out the fact, they say, on June 11, this is the school board letter, June 11, 2001, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Child Evangelism Fellowship could have access to public school facilities to conduct Good News Club meetings. The decision stated that religious clubs, such as the Good News Club, must be given the same access to school facilities accorded any other non-school related group. And it says many of these have done that. And they go on to say, while the Good News Club is working together with parents in the school to build solid moral and spiritual character into the lives of their children, based on the religious point of view, the Satanic Temple also has plans to enrich the lives of children in your district. And then they go on and further talk about that. Dave, let me go to you first. The energized effort to bring in Satan worship as equivalent to the Good News Bible clubs should shock everybody who's listening to this program. And while we talk about this as being a bad thing, I want to ask you, when the court and our culture rejects God in our thinking and removes him from our courts, our schools, and society, is there any reason to believe that this blatantly evil and anti-God effort will not succeed?
Sam, I don't think there's any expectation based on what you've just shared and the thorough preparation for this to believe that it would not succeed. However, I want to say this. Sam, this is both a biblical issue, a moral issue, and certainly a constitutional issue. Years ago, the left began to frame the First Amendment debate under this terminology, that the First Amendment is for the purpose of keeping God's influence out of government or government education, government buildings, whether that be military, educational buildings, whatever, that the First Amendment was a wall to keep God out of government, when, Sam, that is not at all what our founders envisioned. They wanted to keep the influence of government out of the church, but it was not to isolate God from government. So I think we need to combat this on a number of levels, the first being spiritual, the second being constitutional. And while we're talking about things here, Sam, that are very disturbing, in fact, they're beyond disturbing, every parent that is listening to the sound of our voice should be outraged over what we are talking about and the possibility of this satanic influence on their children. But we need to combat it. And Sam, I am not in any way an adherent to the philosophy or the idea that this is a done deal and this can't be stopped. Mm-hmm. It can be stopped. This can be turned around, and it takes leadership on the White House level. It takes leadership on the church house level. It takes leadership all around, and these things can be turned around. But the impetus from the bottom up must start with outraged parents who say, absolutely not. It was the understanding of our founders that Judeo-Christian belief was that which was protected in this country. This thing of Satanism, our founders would never envision giving them equal footing with Judeo-Christian belief.
Dave, I think that was greatly said. Gary, I want to go to you next on this, because when we stand up, when we as Christians stand up and say we will not, and take a position based on our conscience, but we believe truth says, when the court has stepped in as they have done and ruled that these things are equal, when we have the discussion out there that Islam is equal to Islam, that wants to kill us, is equal under the First Amendment, when we have, as our president goes out across the world and says, we're all about pluralism, they're all equal, the court has removed the civil law ability to make a distinction based on a matter of truth. So really that's the case. So Gary, how do we as Christians, how do we and upon what authority do we stand now in the absence of the protection of civil government, as Christians, raise the authority to take a position on God's truth on matters of religion, satanic club, or even human sexuality, whatever it may be? What's our authority and where do we stand?
Well, simply, Sam, our authority is always the Word of God. We talk about it here on Stand in the Gap, and that's what we at the American Pastors Network are committed to, the absolute authority of God's Word. And in recognizing that, we also need to understand that the Word of God teaches us that in latter times, people will be giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we are seeing that taking place even when we are bringing this idea of the Satanic Club into the schools, into the kindergarten. Imagine that. Just think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I think that, number one, these are days, and I'm going to talk to Christian parents right now. These are days when those of you who have children who are of the school age, you need to take them out. This is my opinion, but you need to take them out of the government school and put them in either a good, solid Christian school or develop a homeschool program for them. because what they're going to get continually in the government-supported school is secularism, is an anti-Christ philosophy, and it is there. So I want to speak, first of all, to parents of children who are in school, because we're getting closer and closer to the beginning of a new year. This is the time to start making a choice. But then beyond that, we also need to take heed to what Jude said. And that is in verse 3, where he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." The faith talks about the compilation of all of God's truth that's found in His Word. And Sam, as things continue to appear and in reality get worse and worse and worse, we can't stand back. We cannot be like our president, who has drawn a red line in the sand against Assad and keeps pulling it back or doing nothing about it. We've got to draw that red line, and that red line is this: anytime any person, place, thing, institution, government, church, whatever it is, violates the Word of God, we have got to say, that's enough. This is what God's Word says, and go forward with the truth. Allow the truth be that which is going to bring to light the error and to put down that error.
That's great, Gary. Moral authority comes from God's Word. There is nothing higher. Dave, I want to go to you in the last remaining moments right here on this question. Is there an ability for people to stay neutral? Can someone say, "Well, I don't like what's going on, but I don't want to get involved either"? Is neutrality possible when we face the face of evil?
Sam, neutrality is not an option. Neutrality is not an option, just like not voting is not an option. No, that is absolutely out of the question for any Bible-believing, freedom-loving, constitutionally committed believer or otherwise, someone that is committed to what's right. Remaining neutral cannot ever be considered a legitimate option.
Dave, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the battle for truth, we like riding a bicycle. We either keep going forward or we fall down. There is no retreat in the face of the assault by evil. We as God's people hold the key. If we don't exercise it, evil will succeed.
At the American Pastors Network, we urge pastors and Christian parents to seek a Christian education for their children, not as a preference, but a conviction. Whether in homeschool or Christian school, a Christian education is essential if we ever hope to raise godly children and change the culture for Christ. That's why on this program and our Stand in the Gap Today program, we are glad to partner with BJU Press, the nation's largest provider of K-12 Christian curriculum. Academically excellent, biblically sound, and historically accurate. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. We know that as the sky grows darker, the smallest glimpse of light brings hope, and that's what God offers to us. The light of His Word, the truth that shines despite the darkness, and our opportunity to be that ray of hope in this world. As you've just heard, neutrality, the hiding of our light under a bushel, is not an option. If your child's school is considering the addition of an after-school Satan club, now's the time to speak up and let your opposition be heard. In this final segment, we're going to take some time to compare and contrast now the party platforms of the Democrats and Republicans. While society may have rejected God's laws and God's ways, God's people, the church, have an opportunity to choose leaders who will allow them to continue to worship Him and promote the life-changing message of the gospel. If you're on the fence and unconvinced that you need to participate in this year's election, this next discussion, we hope, will change your mind.
Well, when the courts attempt to overrule God, we get a lot of things, unpredictable things. We've talked about some of those. We go from marriage to sexual identity of whatever you want it to be, to transgenderism, and you'd better accept it and make room in your public schools, to now transspeciesism, that says you can be part beast and actually have government participating in trying to develop part human, part beast. Is there a bottom? But the courts also, when they take God out of schools, they take prayer out of schools, the Ten Commandments out of schools, what do we end up with? Satan clubs in our elementary schools who demand the same right to be there as everybody else. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a cost to not being involved in civil government. There is a cost when the pulpits of America have ceased to teach civic duty and what it means to be involved in civil government. And I think we're seeing some of that come before us, but it finds its way into the political parties. Gary and Dave, we've talked about it on this program before. We've talked about some of the striking differences between the Democrat Party platform espoused by Tim Kaine and Hillary Clinton and Obama and all the rest of them, and the Republican platform. Let me just take one sliver, if I could here, just one small part, on this matter of sexual identity and marriage, since we've carried it through this program and this theme, reading from the Democrat 2016 platform. Starts out by this: guaranteeing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights, Democrats applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized that LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love. And they go on to talk about much work still needs to be done in our schools, in our restaurants, and so forth. And I'm going to stop at that point and going on with it. On the Republican platform, they have a section. The title is Defending Marriage Against an Activist Judiciary. See the thread through this, ladies and gentlemen, the court? This is what they say, just a first few lines. Traditional marriage and family, based on marriage between one man and one woman, is the foundation for a free society and has been for millennia, and have been entrusted with the rearing of children and the instilling of cultural values. We condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in the United States versus Windsor, which wrongly removed the ability of Congress to define marriage in federal law. Dave and Gary, you could not have a clearer contrast on this issue of marriage, human sexuality, and frankly, talk about even the role of the court. The Republican says we cannot have a activist judiciary. The Democrat platform says there's a whole lot more we need to do, and they have said if a Hillary or a Tim Kaine, and then they get in there, what they're exactly going to do. So I would like to go here now on this thing and flesh this out a bit. As we've looked at now, the fact that you have Satan clubs saying we have as much right as the Good News Bible Club to be in our elementary schools, and to say that the Good News Bible Clubs have infiltrated, and that the Satan clubs can have just as much an important role to play as anyone else. And then you see the Democrat platform here that really embraces this bottom rung view of human sexuality, and in the Republican platform, which upholds basically God's standard. Dave, you here. Can any logical Christian, can any Christian say this election is not important, or I am going to step out of it and not participate when it is so obvious what the decisions of the courts have already done and what they will do if it's not, if something's not done by God's people now?
Sam, there is absolutely no other option except to be involved in it on a number of levels. If we could take the personalities out of this election, as much as I see Hillary Clinton as a grating personality, as much as I do not appreciate sometimes the bombastic nature of Donald Trump's personality, if we could take the personality out of this and just look at the principles espoused by the two respective parties, Sam, it is not a D versus R issue. It is not a left versus right issue. It is not a liberal versus conservative issue. It is a right versus wrong, light versus darkness, good versus evil issue. And Sam, I don't think there's ever been a situation where the platforms have been more distinct, more clearly delineated than they are right now. So if you're not voting for a person, at least vote for the platform that is closest to what we believe the Bible teaches. And in this election, that is glaringly obvious which one is closest to what the Bible teaches.
Dave, I think very well stated. And to that extent, before I go to Gary here, for those who say, well, I'm just going to make this a matter of faith, and whatever God does, God does. Is that appropriate to say, I'm not going to vote? Or I'm not even going to vote against the people who are holding up this anti-God provision, but vote against them if nothing else. But can we legitimately blame the results on God if we do not participate the way we have the opportunity to participate?
Absolutely not, Sam. God has given us common sense. He's given us an opportunity with the framework of government we have to be intimately involved in that process. And so to say, I'm going to sit this one out, I'm going to leave it in the hands of the Lord, or Sam, I'm going to go this far to say, I'm going to cast my ballot for a third party individual. I want to see a platform produced by a third party that is remotely as good as what is on the Republican side this time. Sam, if I could see something like that, then I might be just a tad open-minded. But the fact of the matter is this party platform on the GOP side, Sam, looks in many ways like it was extracted directly from the scriptures. Why in heaven's name would someone not to want to vote positively for that and negatively against that which is liberal, leftist, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-American on the other side? Sam, I'm sorry, I will never understand that kind of thinking.
Great, great point, Dave. Gary, let me go to you in the closing here. Our listeners who are listening, when they hear these things, what should they do? What should be the response of the person listening right now? Retreat? Go forward? What should they do, Gary?
Well, Christians should not retreat. You know, onward Christian soldiers. You know, Dave, was that you and I discussing the other day that that's a song we don't hear too much anymore?
You know what? We don't. And there's war analogy in there, which is very unpopular right now. But what we need to do, and I agree with Gary, this is not a time for retreat. This is the time to take the battle to the enemy.
And the song, The Fight Is On. You know, we are in a spiritual battle. And the Bible teaches us that we are supposed to, you know, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might and not retreat, but go forward. And it's time for us to go forward. I think, Sam, that in the last years, the Church of Jesus Christ has taken an indifferent, weak position. Mm. That time is over. We've got to go forward strongly. Now, I want to say a double amen to what Dave said about the GOP platform. And, you know, it's like reading the Bible in many places. And I think what we need to do is pray that that platform will not only be protected, but upheld by all those in the GOP.
Gary and Dave, thanks for the comments today. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard some really shocking news. It's all real. It's all there. Encourage your pastors to preach on it, ladies and gentlemen. Pastors who are listening, boldly preach the principles of God's word to these issues. Our people cannot perish for lack of knowledge, not when it's there. I encourage all of you, wherever you are across the country, listen to this program, stand in the gap for truth boldly, lovingly, and courageously, wherever you are, and God will bless it because the truth will prevail. Join us tomorrow, 23 hours from now.
You've been listening to the Stand in the Gap weekend program, and we've just featured selected sections from our August 3rd Stand in the Gap Today broadcast. If you've never listened to our daily program but would like to find out how you can tune in, please visit our website at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. You can listen live daily from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right on our website, or you can look for a station in your area. Now, if the station on which you're listening to this program does not carry our daily program, Stand in the Gap Today, and you'd like for it to do so, please contact your local station manager and ask him to begin airing Stand in the Gap Today. We also have a one-minute program called Stand in the Gap Minute, which is a daily reflection on spiritual truths designed to help you in your walk with God. All three programs, Stand in the Gap Minute, Stand in the Gap Today, and Stand in the Gap Weekend, can be found at standinthegapradio.com. Just click on the name of the program that you're interested in to access the archives. Friends, when God led us to start APN almost 3 years ago, we knew that until the pastors of America stepped up, preached the whole counsel of God, and stood against the forces of evil, that America would decline and become an embarrassment to the nations. While we are greatly concerned about how many pulpits remain silent, we are encouraged at how many pastors are stepping up and standing united with us as a part of APN. But these are urgent and perilous days, and time is of the essence. We feel it. And I know you do too. We need your immediate help. God has placed before us the vision to establish a chapter of bold pastors in all 50 states. Imagine what that would be. Today, we have chapters in 5 states with 5 more we trust before the end of the year. But we can't do this alone. We need dozens more dedicated partners just like you to help us in this critical task. We humbly ask you to join us in 3 important ways. First, pray for us. I know all of you can do that. Secondly, we need dedicated financial partners, whether large or small. Some can help a lot, others a little, but you can do it by going online and giving automatically every month at our website at standinthegapradio.com and then to the Donate tab. Each chapter requires about $7,500 to start. Maybe God will lead you to help, partially or the whole thing. All gifts are tax deductible. Thirdly, the American Pastors Network just launched a nationwide initiative called We Will Stand. Simple but powerful, this effort invites America's pastors, church leaders, and believers to intentionally band together and faithfully stand for biblical truth in the public square. To find out more about that, go to standinthegapradio.com and click on the We Will Stand tab in the upper left-hand corner. And then finally, I'd like to issue an invitation to all pastors and church leaders and all interested and concerned Christians listening today to this broadcast to set aside the morning of September 10th. Mark your calendar as the American Pastors Network, in conjunction with Grace Chapel of York, Pennsylvania, will give live streaming a brand new event called Tipping Point Summit. We've called it the tipping point because the United States is at a tipping point from which there may be no return. Pastors and Christian leaders have always been significant in the leadership of America, but where are they today? This summit is designed to address that need. We need to arise and lead once again. If you want to find out more information, attending live or live stream, please visit our APN website to learn more and to register. It's free, but go there, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. This is Sam Rohr asking you the question. Until next time, will you stand in the gap for truth with us this coming week?
Thank you for listening to Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network Week in Review. Our goal is to equip the pastor, church leader, and all believers to think critically and biblically in a culture that increasingly rejects truth, and to provide you with a focused analysis of current events viewed through the lens of a biblical and constitutional worldview. APN promotes the return of our nation to God through preaching, praying, and equipping Christians to reclaim the culture as soldiers and ambassadors of Christ. God hears the calls of His people who learn the truth and obey it. To partner with APN, please visit us on the web at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. You can sign up to receive regular updates, to become a prayer partner, or to help as a financial partner. You may also call us at 610-901-3607. Again, that's 610-901-3607.
To listen to any of our Stand in the Gap programs, including our live daily program, go to standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Stand in the Gap Weekend, the American Pastors Network. Pastors preaching the truth, equipping their people to impact the culture for Christ.